Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, Guardian Evolver, Cherisher and Sustainer of all the world. Dear beloved Muslims, visitors, friends, brothers and sisters, Assalamu Alaikum. I believe most of you know the meaning of our greetings, Assalamu Alaikum. It means, may peace be with you. And the peace we hope that will be with you and with all of us is the peace that only our Creator, Allah, can grant us. I have a number of things that I have to mention, give some comment on before beginning the talk this afternoon on Al-Adha, Eid Al-Adha. And the first is the date. The date that we will observe Eid Al-Adha will be October 31st. That's Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. And all Muslims should seek to be off at least for the half a day, if possible the whole day. The Eid will begin around 9:30, the services that is, around 9:30, and should be completed by 11 o'clock, by 11. So I believe most of you, if you can get a half day off, you could observe Eid. Better that you get the whole day off, because the whole day, in fact, not just one day, but days are devoted to the observance of Eid by many Muslims. Many Muslims don't observe just one day, they observe more than one day, at least 4 days. But since we are here in this country, and our life, that is the work life, is regulated by the society we live in that is not Islamic, we have to make allowances for that. The Eid is very important. This is the first Eid al-Adha to be observed by the total community, our total community. We have observed it individually and separately, but this is the first time we are observing it as we are obligated to do. Muslims are obligated to observe the Eid. Eid al-Fitr after Ramadan fast, and Eid al-Adha after, on the 10th day of Hajj, which is the biggest of the two Eids, the biggest of the two observance, is this observance that's coming up on Wednesday. I want to remind Muslims, and I believe we're on national hookup now, we wish all the believers and guests the guidance of God and blessings of Almighty God, and greetings to the believers and to their leaders, the Imam. I want to remind the community of the generosity of some of our Muslim brothers and sisters across the water. I have received gifts of Quran from Muslim men and also from Muslim women who had the money, the wealth to make the donation. The great bulk of our gift books, Islamic books, have come from the World Muslim League leader, Sheikh Harkhan in Mecca, and from Muslim Student Association efforts in Brother Tajani, who I believe is in Sudan now, but he has helped us tremendously on his own without us requiring it. Because of him, we are going to have an Islamic library here on our property. A library that will service the Prayer Muhammad School here, and also the outer community and Muslims, with good Islamic books. Another great donor has been Sheikh bin Baath of Mecca, the leader of the council, supreme council of imams in Mecca. Why am I making this comment? So that you will value the books that we have and not just receive them and let dust canker on them. Read them, study them. These books have been distributed between, among the major centers, between the major centers, where the Council of Imams are, the great regions, Chicago, Illinois, now having its Midwest regional headquarters in Detroit, Michigan, and the Imam Dr. Shabazz, Abdulaleem Shabazz, doing a wonderful job of propagating the religion and dignifying the community there. And we have in Atlanta, Georgia, Imam Ibrahim Pacha, who has always been a hard worker in this community and is doing great works in Atlanta. We have in Houston, Texas, Imam Khalidin. He was the fire and life of the propagation team here for some time. And he has gone out in Houston, Texas, and he has gained respect and support from the outer community and from the media. He's now given the meditation hour on TV, along with a number of other wonderful things that is happening there under his leadership in Houston, Texas. We have in New York City, Imam Rashid, who has really brought millions into the audience to hear the teachings of Al-Islam. By his contacts, the media, TV, mainly his contacts is TV. And we hope that this will continue, and we hope that New York, Harlem, New York, will become an Islamic community. And that's our hope for the world. We know that only Allah will bring human beings together. But it is our hope, if anybody has something that they feel to be the best for people, then they should hope that for the rest of the world. So we are not sensible, we are not decent people if we don't hope for the world what we want for ourselves. We have in Los Angeles Imam Kareem Hassan, who has really established a record for himself of being a very good businessman. During the early years of my leadership here in the community, Imam Hassan had the best record for doing good business, sound business. These regions represent the centers where our greatest membership is concentrated. And we expect that all the imams in these regions will communicate with the imam, the council imam, with the regional imam, on some regular basis, monthly, at least monthly, by mail, or if you're close by the regional imam, pay a visit. Many of the satellite communities are surrounding communities. I hate to call them satellites now because actually each community has its own independence, so to speak, within its own community. We hope that there'll be cooperation and
respect for the larger community. Many of us don't know this. Prophet Muhammad taught us to lend our support to the larger community and to respect the larger community. If Gary, Indiana would get a membership bigger than ours, then it would be our obligation to begin to center the attention on Gary. That would be our obligation. Yes. Except that they would be proven to be a community of people who don't reflect what Al-Islam should be, then that would be different. But as long as the larger community is a good community, and our community does not excel it so much that it should follow us, then we should go to the larger community. We all should lend our support to the larger community. And I don't mean financial support right now, because small communities don't have financial support to lend anybody. What I'm talking about now is moral support, respect for the community and the leadership, and keeping lines of communication open so that the surrounding imams get the benefit of that communication that the regional imam is receiving because of his closer contact with the national leadership. We have a book here that we purchased, and I think the price was very reasonable. We purchased this book from Rabita, World Muslim League, in New York. And this book is for our Clare Muhammad School. It's an Arabic reader, Qira'atul Arabiya, in English, the Arabic reader. I think we have purchased enough to distribute here. We have 500 more coming, but we already received half of our order, which is 500. And we hope that every student in the school will have this book to take home. This will be your book. We promised it some weeks ago, and now we have it. There was a brother, a Bilalian brother, who seems to have been a very excellent student in Arabic language, and he has prepared a book about almost this thick. And I have it right now. We're making some minor corrections. He submitted it to us to study it and to make our comments and corrections, so we're making some minor corrections. Pretty soon this book will be available by this Bilalian brother. And possibly we might be able to print enough of these books to distribute them to all of the schools, Clare Muhammad schools. We have today a program at Sister Clare Muhammad School, right here on the grounds here, that I think will be a good program because it's given by a group of sisters who so far haven't failed. And that's the Clare Muhammad Foundation. Those sisters so far haven't failed. Allah is blessing them. Allah is their helper. They got a retail store, and sometimes I wonder what keeps them there, you know? It's just love for the work, love for Allah, love for the work. I remember one time I had a little store. I think I brought back $9 from the cash register that day. And Shirley said, "How much did you get today?" I said, $9. And she laughed. And I laughed. But we are still here, you see? Because we've kept the faith in Allah. And they're surviving with their retail store because they're keeping the faith. And they're not trying to earn money for themselves. No money comes to individuals. And I hope you'll practice this throughout the community. Whatever you open up under the community's name, or as a charitable entity, refuse to accept any profit from that for yourself. And Allah will bless us. Some people have to be paid because we have certain jobs that have to be done. We know we have to have somebody hired who's qualified and who can give their time daily. But many things can operate like Clare Muhammad's retail store, where a sister goes down one day and she gave a full day there. And each day, a sister gave a full day. So the stores kept open because every day another sister is given a full day. So many programs can be supported by charity. Sister Amina, who works for the foundation, very dutiful sister. My wife's car got demolished. She wasn't driving it. Somebody else was driving it. Completely demolished. She lost the car. And that's been about a year ago now, I think. And I haven't bought her another car, you see. So Sister Amina, because they go together, they are together all the time, Sister Amina picks her up, takes her around. The sister's been very good. Very good. If it's sewing, cooking, washing, taking the members of the foundation where they have to go, especially Sister Claire Muhammad, she always goes to do it, just ready to just serve. And that sister had an accident the other day in her car, and her little car was destroyed. So I learned about it, and I learned that the foundation was going to say, well, we're going to buy her. No, in fact, I told my wife, I said, look, I say, you tell her that we'll get her another car. Won't be a brand new car, because she didn't lose a brand new car, you know. But it'll be a nice car, a nice little car. We're going to get her a nice little car. And Sister Shirley Muhammad, president of the foundation, she said, well, we wanted to do something for her, too. So I didn't say anything, you know. When women start bringing in, I don't say nothing, I wait. So I didn't say anything. So she came back after about 5 or 10 minutes, and she said, we'll pay half and you all pay half. I say, very good. We have a program at the school today. I understand that there'll be fish dinner. Fish dinner will be served by the Sisters of the Tara Muhammad Foundation. That is sponsored by them. I don't know who will do the serving. Most likely they will be serving. And after dinner, there will be musical entertainment. Malcolm X College Band. And I understand that they have a very good band. And one of the members of our community is a member of the band. So we want to go over after the meeting and enjoy, take part in the program. I think the tickets are $2 or $3. I'm not sure. For adults, $2 or $3, I think. It might be one ticket for adults and children. I don't know. Before we leave, someone will come up and give us the information on that. And believe me, $2 or $3 nowadays, nothing. Nothing. $2 is a good hamburger. Yeah, that's right. A good hamburger. Now, there are many people who say, why do we need religion? Why don't we just get together and try to make some money? What do we need all this religion for? Well, we need it as a base to support the money making. If you try to make money with no morals and no spiritual life, you're going to lose it. Or you're going to use it in the wrong way and cause trouble for the society and for yourself. Whenever I see crap like this pass around, it makes me just all the more determined to be a fiery preacher of truth, whether people like it or not. Some so-called religious organization putting out this kind of mess, prayer for the children. And they say here that God's wings is a protection for the people. The people are protected under the shadow of God's wings. And here is a woman, a Caucasian woman, with her breast exposed, and her wings are big and spread out, you see, suggesting that she is God. I heard a Bilalian the other day say that she said, God is a woman. I'm convinced God is a woman. Who has put these crazy pagan notions in the minds of the people? The very people who show images to them that claim to be image of God in the churches. They're responsible for that. If you show in your church a Caucasian man supposed to be God incarnate, a God manifested in the flesh, then you're putting it in the minds of the people that they should look for God in a material form. So naturally, when people get dissatisfied with that image of God, they will put up a different one. The black nationalists, the black radicals, they will make, if they're religious, they'll make them a black Jesus, a black God. And the women live will make them a woman God. And the spiritual perverts will make them a God like this, with the buff hanging out. You tell me we can work hard in this world to propagate truth? And here I have an article here cut from the daily paper, recent article here from the daily paper, where doctors, family, medical doctors, physicians, are calling parents' attention to the way that their children are being exploited, taken advantage of by the drug business. How they're selling toys and other things, a comic book, to introduce your little children to reefer smoking. Well, that's just an atom of the evil that we have to face and deal with in this society. Now I want to call the members of this community's attention to something that most of us have never realized. And that is this. This community, under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when it was called Nation of Islam, and was based upon different principles and philosophy, it, at that time, was promoting Islamic morals. It, at that time, was promoting the example of Prophet Muhammad. But most of us don't understand that. From the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I have heard more hadith, more sayings of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, that I've heard from all the ministers, all the imams in the community. I know of no imam that preached and demonstrated the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad as much as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. No, I don't know. In this community. And in the past, under the old leadership, when we were called Nation of Islam, there wasn't any minister or any imam who was as Sunni in his own personal life as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was. No, wasn't a single one. If we are to be true to our community, that is, this is the community of Islam, this is a community following Quran and following Prophet Muhammad. If we are to be true to this community, then our leadership must exemplify the fine attributes that were exemplified in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Imams, school teachers, business leaders in our community, all leaders in our community and all people in our community will not be successful unless they show in their own life that they are trying to build Islamic character and follow the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad never told us that he was following the example of Prophet Muhammad. In fact, he introduced himself as a messenger. He didn't tell us he was following Prophet Muhammad. he introduced himself as a messenger. But he must have been a follower of Prophet Muhammad. At least he followed his social mannerism, his custom at home and out and abroad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, whenever he received guests at his home, he would treat them as Prophet Muhammad treated his guests. And when they were finished eating or whatever the occasion was, when it was over, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would escort them to the door, and most of the time he would walk them to their car, and he would stand on the outside until they got out of his sight. Whose sunnah is that? That's the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. So that's what this community needs to know. This community needs to know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did follow Prophet Muhammad in many respects. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad wouldn't eat before praying. Who started that? Prophet Muhammad. He would warn us against being greedy and chaucy at the table. He told us not to reach over food to get some special piece. Whose teaching is that? Prophet Muhammad's teaching. That's in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. So who is following the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Oh, yes. I remember him teaching us to love for your brother what you love for yourself. We have these sayings in print, and they are much older than America, not to mention the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. These sayings are more older than America, you see, and they are the sayings of the Holy Prophet, the Universal Prophet Muhammad. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us what the Noble Prophet himself taught. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. This is a Christian golden rule, isn't it? And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that, but he also taught us to love for your brother what you love for yourself. A saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad going out to the Jewish market to get special meat because he didn't like eating the meat that was available in the regular store. And he told us, many of you are here today who have heard him say that the Jews' food is better. What did he mean by that? He meant that it was close to being halal. That's what he meant. That it had been slaughtered in the name of God and the blood had been drained from it if it was done by Orthodox Jews. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad introduced much of the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad to this nation, so-called nation of Islam, that is now World Community of Islam in the West. I could go on to point out to you things that he did, things that won him friends, things that won him admiration from his wife, from his children, that won him the admiration from the outer society. Things that he had inculcated or introduced into his own life because he admired that in the life of Prophet Muhammad. So we have been invited to take one path or the other. Those that want righteousness, truth, and justice, they came with W.D. Muhammad. Those that want lies, excuses, misdeeds, and deception, they follow somebody else. Because W.D. Muhammad is too big a challenge for their weak morals. I don't know how they are doing, but we are doing very well. All praise is due to Allah. We have to understand that W.D. Farrakh gave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a strategy, a plan, a strategy. He did not give him a community of Islam. He gave him a nation called Islam, a nation of Islam that was an experimental plan, a strategy. He asked the question, what means and methods must be used to awake the most, the poison and rust, the worst one, the most mentally sick of the people? And he was an experimenter, a social reform experimenter. He was not following Quran, he was experimenting. He gave us the story of Yaqub to give us an idea of what he was doing. Yaqub was an experimenter, and he made a new people and fired them up with false hopes and false aspirations and false sense of their own superiority, and put them on the path to self-glorification. And he came with a similar plan and a similar philosophy and introduced it to us and put us on the same kind of selfish path toward black supremacy, black government, black rule. And if you understand it correctly, his plan was just to expose the plan of the Jacobites. His plan is a kind of indictment and a satire on the evils in the world. And if you study what he has done, you'll see what others have been doing for centuries, for thousands of years. So actually, his evil was revealing, was revelatory. It was to reveal the evils in society. And it wasn't the first time that something like this has been done. This has happened many times in history, where a great social genius has come up with an idea to do an evil to expose a greater evil, a much wider, a more prevalent evil. So the Sayyid Muhammad did an evil, but his evil speaks for the evil that's in the world. It tells you what the world has done. Charged W.D. Farrar with saying God is black. Before him, somebody said God was white. Charged W.D. Farrar with saying the black race is the only original pure people, that Caucasians are impure, that they are some kind of mutant creation, or artificial creation. Charge him with it. But know that history shows that others said it before he did. Others said that the white was the original, the pure blood, the original people, and the blacks were mutants. Inferior by nature. You see? So every lie he told, somebody told it before him, and their lie was more prevalent than his. Their lie was more widespread than his. Their lie was controlling the world. His lie was just trying to jump up and say, look, how big a lie a man can tell. Look at the big lie that man can tell. So you will see the big lie that's told all over the world. I don't say this is justified. This is not justified. This is not Muslim behavior. That's Satan's behavior. That's the way Satan operates. Instead of coming out and fighting the evil, Satan produced another evil just to show you the evil that's in the world. Oh, he's calling our savior Satan. Well, if he's still your savior, most likely you're Satan too by now. Now, I would like to speak to you on Eid al-Adha. Its spiritual and social message.
Al-Adha. They hold in symbolism, in ritual, and in symbolism, the great struggle and great hope, dreams, or aspirations of universal man. Man all over this world have been struggling mainly for two achievements on this earth. One is a personal victory over his wild or blind appetite. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is that discipline, that training, that help us to get our appetite under our own control so that we can present ourselves to Allah as obedient, clean, decent, upright people. So Ramadan is a purification. It is a month of purifying. Purifying the appetite. Purifying the human biological or spiritual appetite. Isn't that the first struggle for man in his spiritual struggle for truth, righteousness, and understanding? Doesn't that come first? When you study history of societies all over the world, you find that all societies, primitive and advanced, all societies that have come into a real religion, a real religious experience, they have begun by first trying to discipline the forces of their own individual spirituality. So Ramadan, it focuses upon that struggle. To better understand it, we have to understand it in the context of Scripture. But that is the main or the most essential point or method of the Ramadan fast and the Eid that follows Eid and Fitr. It is a victory over the appetite, a victory that brings us into clearer spiritual knowledge and understanding. I'm not talking about what this means in the life of Prophet Muhammad. So let's not go crazy out there saying the Prophet received the revelation in the month of Ramadan. We're not dealing with that. Certainly the Prophet received the revelation in the month of Ramadan. But the month of Ramadan now represents something else. Did the Prophet say he fasted 30 days and the revelation came? Or he fasted 27 days and the revelation came? No. He didn't say that. No. After Ramadan, Muslims come together, right? And we have Eid. We celebrate that victory together. We glorify God, who makes all things possible. We glorify Him, and we rejoice. It is a moment, it's a festival moment. It's a moment for celebration. We rejoice, we are victorious. We have controlled our appetite for God's sake for 30 days. You see? Representing symbolically, representing the reaching the point of purification. We have conquered our appetite for God's sake. After that big Eid, about 3 months later, comes a greater Eid, the Eid al-Adha, which is our topic for the day, our subject for the day. This is the second great hope of man, the second great hope of society. Once we have brought our own individual life to conform to what God wants, then we want to see that in the society. Because we can't live at peace by ourselves. We can't enjoy the blessings of spiritual life by ourselves. Every time we walk out our door and see obstacles, threats to that life, it makes us want to do something to change the outer world. So man's great hope, greater than personal victory, is community victory. Community victory. The great victory of the social man. Ramadan represents the victory of the spiritual man, and Eid al-Adha represents the victory of the social man. By social man, we mean society, a victory for society. To understand this properly, we too must go and study it in the context of Scripture. But it's too big a subject for us to deal with in the context of Scripture fully, so we're just going to move on with it. Hajj, in its composition, the steps and duties of Hajj, the symbols of Hajj, together form a universal message speaking to the great social aspirations of the people of the book and the world. Many people of the world have the same aspirations. What does it say? It says, there should be no slavery. That's one of the things it says. It says, there should be no slavery in a most magnificent way, powerful divine way.